My name is Phil, and what I do here is something that I love. I get to oversee our service areas and our mission areas, and it's something that I tell people all the time that I am just so extremely blessed because I get to take people on mission trips, and I just get to experience life change in like really cool ways with students. And so I love what I do, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about that tonight. I'm just going to start off in prayer, and then I'll dive in. God, you are good, and you're mighty, and you're beautiful, and we love you. And God, just give this night to you. Spirit, just invite you here, and I'll just pray that you open up everyone's hearts in the room right now, God, that those hearts would be open to tugs and to convictions that your Spirit is just so good at doing. So we love you. I'll lift tonight up to you in your most precious name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be talking about service, and the word serve is mentioned 209 times in the Bible. I think that's true. I found that on a website somewhere, but we'll go with it. It sounds about right. Jesus made it very clear, at least to me, why he came. Jesus made it clear that he came to wash the feet of his disciples, that he came to heal the sick, that Jesus came to give hope to the hopeless and to love the widows and the children. I also think Jesus made it pretty clear about what we're supposed to do. And what that is we're supposed to act like Jesus acted. We're supposed to do what Jesus did. And so that means we're supposed to be caring for the sick, and that we're supposed to be washing people's feet in service, that we're supposed to be loving and caring for the widows and the children. So when I think about that, take a step back in my life, and I think about all the times that I have come up with an excuse of why I might not be doing what Jesus has called me to do. And take a step back, and I think about the times that I'm convicted about doing something, and I come up with the excuse, you know what, God? I know I'm supposed to be doing this. I agree there's a need here, but I cannot find a single hour in my schedule to do anything about it. Think about the times when God brings something else up in my life, and I think to myself, you know what, God? There's a lot of people already doing this. They're probably doing it better than what I could do. I'm just going to go ahead and let them do it and pray for them and hope it works out well. And the list can go on and on and on. And I could be here all night talking about the excuses that I've made up for myself for reasons to not follow Jesus' teaching as far as service goes. And so tonight we're going to be looking a little bit, we're going to be diving a little bit deeper into that and what that means and what that might look like for you in your life right now. So we're going to be starting off in the book of Matthew, and Matthew is the first book of the Bible, and I just want to encourage you guys, if you've never read the Bible, or if you haven't opened the Bible in like 20 years, or if you just don't even know where to start, I want to encourage you, that is not something to be ashamed about. That is okay. And Matthew is a really great place to start. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, and it is a story. It's one of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are just the testaments of Jesus' lives and what Jesus did with his time on earth and the teachings that he taught and the people that he interacted with. And so that is a great place to start. I'm sure there's someone in here that would love to start that with you. If this is something that you've never done before, I really just want to make it clear that is not something to be ashamed about. And it's something that I think this is a great place for you to start. So I just wanted to add that in about where we're starting in Matthew. And before I start, I'm just going to tell a story a little bit about and set the stage for where we're at in Matthew. We're in Matthew 14, and Jesus had a cousin named John. John the Baptist, he loved him. John was a pretty cool guy. A lot of people liked him. And John also had a couple enemies. The guy in charge right now is Herod. And he and his wife was Herodias. Now, his wife was the wife of his brother. Okay? So he married his brother's wife, and John made it a point in his life to call him out about it. In Jewish law, you're not supposed to marry your brother's wife, which is pretty understandable. And John would just make sure to let people know that what they're living a life of sin because of what they're doing. So because of that, Herod and Herodias hated him. And so they arrested John, they put him in jail, and Herod really wanted to kill him, but he was afraid of how the people would react because a lot of people liked him, a lot of people thought he was a prophet, and so he didn't. So fast forward a little bit, and we have Herod's, it's his birthday, and he throws a big bash, and Herod invites some exotic dancers, we'll say, to the party with him and his bros, and the main exotic dancer, the number one chick, the best looking girl in the party, happens to be Herodias' daughter. So she gets paired up with Herod. So Herod's personal exotic dancer was his niece slash stepdaughter. Okay, this is all in the Bible, I swear, I'm not making this up. And so he's just like really into it, and he's like, you know what, girl, whatever you want, I'll do for you. And because she was persuaded by her mother, who really, really, really hated John the Baptist, she said, I want John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. And so he said, all right. So he sent someone to do it, and they did it, and he presented John the Baptist's head on a silver platter to her. The disciples came, took away his body, and went to go tell Jesus, and that's where we're at right now, okay? We're going to put the scripture on. Here we are. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Matthew 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, that John the Baptist was murdered, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So, he wanted to get away. He just heard his cousin was killed. He's probably grieving. He needed to get away a little bit to just get his mind straight. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from towns. So here's Jesus in his boat trying to get away, and crowds of people just line the shoreline and are really just like creeping on him, and they're just figuring out where he's going to make sure he doesn't get away, and just really would not leave him alone. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So Jesus landed and he saw the crowd and he went boom, right into ministry mode. He did what Jesus does and he lined people up and started doing work. And so even though he's tired, he was grieving at the moment, his heart was filled with compassion and he started his ministry work. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. So here we have the disciples are kind of freaking out. The sun's going down. They're in the middle of nowhere. And there's a lot of people. We find out later that there's over 5,000 people here right now. It's, you know, when people would find out that Jesus was around, they would flock to him in crazy numbers. When you hear that someone could possibly heal you of your sickness, you're going to go and you're going to grab your grandma with arthritis and your neighbor with diabetes, and you're going to run as fast as you can to Jesus. And that's what they did. This whole town was just, everyone was sick and they needed to be healed by Jesus. So there's all these people here. So the disciples are freaking out. You know, this was unplanned. Jesus was trying to get away, and he was ambushed by 5,000 people. You know, I think the disciples went into crowd control mode, and they were like, look, the sun is setting. We're in the middle of nowhere. We didn't plan this, so we don't have food. We don't have shelter. We don't have anything. They need to go home. And I just pictured them, like, tapping Jesus on the shoulder while he's, like, healing people, and just like, excuse me, sir. Sir, Jesus, they've got to go. They have got to go and eat. And that's just what I'm picturing. And so they're freaking out. Here's where it gets good. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. So here we have Jesus agrees with them. They need to eat, okay? Nobody's arguing. Nobody's arguing about the need. Nobody's arguing about the issue. The issue and the question now is who's going to feed them, okay? The sun is setting. They're in the middle of nowhere. These people need to eat. There's 5,000 of them. Who's going to feed them? And what Jesus does is he takes his disciples who are worrying, they're sweating, probably have some pit stains, they're freaking out, and they're saying, and Jesus looks them in the eye and says, you need to feed them. They go and say, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. What goes through their mind now is something that we've all experienced in some form or another in our lives at some point. Jesus looked them in the eye, his 12 disciples, his 12 bros, the guys that he's just been pouring into, and he says, "Yeah, they need to eat. I agree with you. But they're not going to go away. You need to feed them." And so what goes through their mind is they look around and they're like, "Okay, something needs to be done, but I can't do that." Okay, I agree, they need to eat, but there's no possible way that I can do that. I don't have enough to feed these people. What you're asking me is something that I can't do because I don't have enough. I'm not prepared to do this. Jesus, you're going to have to do something about this because we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and there's 5,000 people behind us. We don't have enough. We don't have what it takes to accomplish what you want us to accomplish. We don't have what it takes to accomplish what you want us to accomplish. So he says, "Bring them here to me." He's talking about the fish and the bread. He says, "Bring them to me. Let me see what you got. Give me what you have, all that you have. You scrounge up your couple pieces of things and give it to me. You put in my hands what you think cannot feed these people. Give to me what you have and let me touch it," he says. And he directed the people to sit down in the grass. So we just picture 5,000 people, and he's just like, "All right, go ahead and sit down." I don't know how he's talking to them. I feel like I lose my voice at Fall Retreat when I try to give you guys directions, and he's talking to 5,000 people. But he's God, so that works. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. I think that's a beautiful picture, that the Son of God, the creator of the universe, got down and he gave thanks. He gave thanks to his Father. I think it's a beautiful picture of what we should be doing as well. So he took the loaves and the fish and looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. And he gave them to the disciples. Now picture this. This is what I'm picturing in my head. It's probably not right, but I see Jesus and I see the disciples like in a line, and there's 5,000 people behind them. They're hungry, they're probably tired, and these disciples are still freaking out. They still don't know what's going to happen. And Jesus breaks them and he gives them all a little bit of stuff, and they're looking in their baskets, and they're like, "Okay, I have the head of the fish." They're looking down the line, and you have the butt of the bread. And they're just like, "Okay, I'm not getting it, Jesus. I still have the same amount of food as I had before, which is not that much. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Now we know what happens here. They all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The disciples, they freaked out. God charged them with feeding these 5,000 people. He gave them direction to do what he wanted. And they said, look, I just don't have enough for that. Makes me think about times that I said, look, I just don't have enough time. Look, I just don't have enough skill to do what you're calling us to do. Look, I want to get my money, but I just don't have enough of it. And God took what they had, the little that they had, and used it for big things. Now, guys, this is something that God has been doing in the church for a long time, and he continues to do now. Think about winter mission trip last year. There was a moment on that trip where what we did there is we put on sports camps for children down on the coast, on the Gulf Coast. And we got to meet a ton of different kids. It was a blast. It was so much fun. And there was this one girl that we met, and she's kind of a loner. She didn't really talk to too many people. Some of our team tried to talk to her, and they couldn't really get through. But later, some people found out some more information that she didn't really come from a great home. So bad, the fact that her family really couldn't even provide a coat for her, a winter coat. And so she had a sweater that she wore every day in hopes to keep that would keep her warm. And so God really just worked in the heart of a couple people on our team, put some money together, and they got her a coat. One simple winter coat. And if you could have seen the smile that was on that little girl's face, if you could have seen the expression that could not be wiped off of her, just the demeanor that she had after that she felt loved and cared for by someone, maybe for the first time in her life, I don't know. You would understand what it means to give something small, to give what we had to give at that moment in time, and let God use that for big things. There's people on this campus, in this community, who haven't felt loved like that in a long time. And when God calls us to, take care of the sick, and to give hope to the hopeless, and to love the widows and the children, what he's calling us to do is not something humongous. He's not calling us to raise money to build a house. And that might be a situation in one case. But what he's calling us to do is give the little that we have and let him do the rest. There's people all around us that needs to be cared for. And I wonder how many times that goes right past us because of the excuses that we make up. What I'm talking about tonight is pretty simple. There's not much to it. And I hope that I'm clear with you that I really want to be working. Like, it's cool how Pete has just set me up for success in this, and everything that Pete's been saying the past couple weeks is something that's been on my heart heavy. That when God does something in your heart, if God's stirring something in your heart right now, he has big plans for it. Okay, and when that doesn't happen, a lot of times we'd let our own junk kind of get in the way of it. Because we lie to ourselves and say we're not good enough. We tell ourselves we're too busy, or that there's other people that can do it. And all he's asking, all God's asking is for us to give the little that we have. So hopefully you guys all got a piece of paper, two pieces of paper when you walked in. I hope you had a chance to read that. If not, we're going to give you a little bit of time. But on there are very tangible, very simple ways to love people around you. On those pieces of paper are people's hearts that they've poured out for you. They're examples of ways that God has been working in a couple of people's hearts in the ministry, and they're taking it seriously, and they're saying, hey, God, I don't have all the answers. I don't know how even know how to do this, but I'm going to take your call seriously, and I'm going to give you the little that I have and let you do the rest of the work. So you have those two pieces of paper in front of you. In a little bit, the band's going to come up, and they're going to play a little instrumental music. I want you to read those, and I want you to take the yellow card, and I want you to fill out your information on there. And as you read the longer descriptions, if there's something on there that makes your heart jump, if there's something on there that excites you, I want you to check those boxes off on the yellow piece of paper. And as things start to come up, as the ball starts to get rolling in those certain areas, these leaders are going to contact you and give you more information on how to come alongside them. Now, I'll give you a second. We'll give you a couple minutes for that in a little bit. But attention right back on me real quick. A couple things before we do that. I'm going to highlight on their winter mission trip. I mentioned it, just mentioned the story just a couple minutes ago. For those of you guys who went out last year, you know it is an incredible experience. Winter mission trip sign-up is going to open up in a couple weeks. We have 40 spots to go down to the coast of Mississippi. Last year, our team was exposed to just the spiritual and physical need that is needed on that coast. And we're going to go there the last week of Christmas break. So the last week before school starts, you guys get 4 weeks off. Don't worry, there's a lot of time. Enjoy your 3 weeks, and then we'll go, and you'll enjoy the last week even more. Last year, God changed the lives of so many people on that trip. There's friendships that were made that are super strong now. And I've really just seen the fruit of that trip in a lot of different areas in my life. So this is my plea to you. If you've never been on a mission trip before, if you've been feeling in some way that God's been stirring your heart and saying, hey, I need to do something like this. I don't know exactly what that means, but I really need to do something like this. This is a great opportunity for you. Sign-ups, registration will open in 2 weeks. There'll be more information about that. But I just wanted to highlight that real quick. That trip was a prime example of God using the little things in our lives to just do some amazing things for his glory. Before the band comes up real quick, I just want to be clear with you. I know I just threw a lot of information at you right now. I want to be clear with you that God wants to use you. Okay? If God's stirring something up big in your heart, listen to him. Okay? These disciples, they were right next to Jesus. Okay? They lived life with Jesus for a little bit. And sometimes they didn't even get it. Okay? Sometimes they didn't even understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. And so I want to be as clear as possible with you that I know you're busy. Okay? I know you have stuff going on in your life. There's garbage. There's a lot of weight in this room. There's a lot of stuff that people are kind of working through. But I also know what God plans for us in those situations. I know that he calls us to love others, to live like he did on this earth. And all we gotta do is give him our 5 loaves and our 2 fish and let him do the rest. Let me pray for us. God, you're good. God, and I just trust you in this situation that, God, that you would use tonight and really, really work in the hearts of people. God, that if they're excited, they will follow through with it. God, with these service areas and with Fall Retreat and with other big things that you have planned in their lives. We love you, God. And we put up the little that we have We put those in your hands to make it big. In your name we pray. Amen.